Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we're going to talk to actor, writer, producer Elizabeth Grayson. We're going to talk about her two companies. One is Flapper Films and the other is Flapper Press. We're also going to talk about her books, her acting, and Highlander. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much, Sherry. It's good to be back on your show. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you back. I mean, everybody's so excited. I've gotten a lot of emails. You're going to have her back.
That's nice. That's nice to hear. First thing in the morning. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of fans out there.
Oh, that's nice. That's really sweet. Thank you.
You're welcome. This time we're going to talk about some other stuff, you know. I mean, we'll talk a little bit about Highlander, too, because you have a lot of fans and friends that love Highlander.
Fans and friends, yes. And family. A lot of the fans have been with us for so long that they do feel like extended family somehow. Seeing familiar faces at a convention is always nice. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting when you go to a convention for a different shows and you're like, they know you. It was weird. I used to go to the Zeta conventions, and Renee O'Connor would like point to me. I'm like looking behind me.
That's funny. When I started working, Roger Bellon is a composer. He was the composer for the Highlander series, not the Raven part of it, but. When I started using him as composer for my films that I was directing and producing, he was so familiar, and I just kept thinking, oh, wait a minute, he's seen my face so much and seen me act and seen all my outtakes and seen all that stuff that he knows me better than I know him, and it made me a little uncomfortable initially. I was like, wait a minute, this is out of balance somehow, but we worked it out. We worked it out. It's fun.
Oh, that's funny. He knew you better than you knew yourself.
I know. He's seen everything, and he set it to music, which is interesting.
He knows your personality so well.
I know. That's very funny. I need to go back and listen to what he's written. I know it's always sort of whimsical and sort of mischievous sounding when there was a music cue for my character. So, but I'm not a man, so it's different.
Oh, yeah, especially, it's on you, but not your character, of course.
Yes. No, I mean, I love Amanda, but, she's got there's a little bit of me in there, for sure, but.
Isn't there a little bit of you in every character? I mean, even the baddies?
Oh, yeah. What are you trying to say, Sherry?
No, not that.
No. I guess so. You know, I mean, even Meryl Streep, I see her in every character, even though she's the ultimate at transforming. You see, you know, the twinkle is there for who she is at the heart of herself, I think. So, yeah, I guess you're right. A little bit of me is there everywhere.
Yeah.
Everything I touch.
I mean, even though, like you said, Meryl Streep transforms into the characters, I mean, almost completely sometimes. You can still see her with her sense of humor, the twinkle in her eye, the way her little mouth kind of goes up a little bit.
Yeah, it's hard to disguise some of your mannerisms. Although Sophie's Choice, I remember my ex-husband, when we were married, we were watching that. He was English and said, "She's a witch, darling. She's amazing how she can transform, you know." So, she's the best. He is the best.
Yeah.
Although Kate Blanchett's good. Actor. There's so many great actresses. Yeah, fantastic.
Character actors or journeyman actors that just transform into their characters are always fascinating to me.
Oh, yeah. The craft at work, to see someone really pull it off, it's a beautiful thing. It can be quite moving, quite touching. I always like that.
This is an older actor, but do you know who Rod Steiger was?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, he was even better than Meryl Streep. I mean, he was a chameleon. I mean, he just melted into the character.
Right. Very powerful actor.
Yeah.
But Kate Blanchett's very good. I think of her as some sort of a version of a Meryl Streep. She's got her own thing going, but she's quite the technician as well. Quite. I really enjoy watching her.
It is amazing when she played a man.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was weird how good she was.
I know. I've been gardening all morning, and I thought of, I don't know why I started thinking of Kate McKinnon. Something made me think of her, and because I met her, it's been about 3 years ago, a short film of mine called The Perfection of Anna was accepted to the Big Island Film Festival in Hawaii, and so I went with a friend, and Kate McKinnon was the special guest they had invited, and it was right before, it was her first year of Saturday Night Live, but the next year she just exploded, you know, with just character upon character. She was definitely the shining star that first year she was in SNL, but it was great to meet her, and I just think of all the characters she's created. I was just thinking of all the different characters she has created and how funny she is and how she's not an improv comedian. She's a sketch comedian, which is very mm-hmm. different. And when they interviewed her at the time, I didn't really realize there was a difference, but there definitely is. You know, everything is very scripted and technical, and, you know, it's like approaching it as an actor as opposed to an improv comedian, which they're both, you know, wonderful ways of approaching comedy, but I never realized that she's a great actress, actually. So
mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see what will happen with her. She's got it going. Makes me laugh every week.
I think there are people who don't realize that. I mean, if you want to look at a sketch, there would be something like Whoopi Goldberg, Lily Tomlin when she was doing Laughing.
Right.
People like that, that's what they do.
Right, exactly. And they're funny people, but I mean, they approach it from a different, they're not there to entertain the room every time they walk into a room. You know what I mean? They're
mm-hmm.
more, they're a little bit more reserved. Kate McKinnon was definitely reserved and not dead serious, but I think everyone was waiting for her to just be hilarious, and then she sort of explained that's not who she was. It was pretty interesting and eye-opening at the same time. And yes, you're right, Lily Tomlin. There's so many, and Lily Tomlin's a great actress too. So
mm-hmm. yeah.
And then you've got people like Jane Fonda, right, who is a serious actress, but she's quite funny naturally as well. So I don't know. It all blends together for sure.
Yeah. Or you have somebody like Goldie Hawn who came up through comedy and who turned out to be a great dramatic actress. You never know.
I know. Exactly. It's all interpretation and technique and whatever they're interested in. It just makes you excited to see what they're going to come up with next. So that's talent.
Yeah.
That's talent, people.
You have two documentaries that we're going to talk about. One is called Dance for Joy, and the other one is called Lee. It's about Lee Merriweather, mm-hmm. which I'm very excited about because my brother and I met her about 3 years ago at Comic-Con, and she was the nicest lady. Her and her daughter were just adorable.
they really are. You know, I've always known who she was. But a couple of years ago, I don't know if we talked about this the last time I was on the show with you, but I haven't really been involved with the Miss America pageant for, so long. Oh, almost 30 years, I think. And I kind of came to a point where I thought it was sort of outdated and actually kind of harmful in its objectification of women. And I kind of went through this whole catharsis in my mind with the whole thing. So I haven't been involved in pageants, but a couple of years ago, I got this random email from Maria Fletcher, who was, I think, Miss America 1961. I may be wrong on that. But she said, look, you know, I finally found you. We've been looking for you. We're having a Miss America rendezvous, a former Miss America who's done it once before. And we're doing it again this year in the San Ynez Valley. And there'll be about 30 of us. We'd love for you to come. And I thought, you know what? I don't really have any desire to go back to the pageant, but that would be so interesting. So I said, okay. And So I went up. It was a long weekend, and there were about 25 of us, I think, from Miss Americas, and it was just a fascinating weekend to get to know everyone, and very different. We're all very different, different backgrounds, different careers, just all over the place in terms of our interests. But Lee was one of the former Miss Americas who was there, and I spent a lot of time. We hiked. We did all sorts of things. And after it was over, she was actually talking about interviews, audio interviews she'd done with former Miss Americas when she was younger, and she'd lost all the tapes in a flood or something had happened to them, and she really regretted that she didn't have them. So my dog is going to start barking. Sorry. Big boy Blue. I have a Great Dane, and he's just decided to get rowdy with my other dog. Guys, please. Anyway, they're like right by the phone. They're getting ready to rumble, I can tell. Anyway, so one of the other formers, as we were hiking, I said, gosh, you know, what a great idea. Maybe we should do an interview with Lee. So I kind of let it sit with me for a while, and sort of, I think it was last summer, I approached Lee and Leslie, her daughter, and said, you know, let's do a documentary on Lee. So I did interviews with her July, and I've done a couple of other things with her since then, and I'm very excited. Mid-May, I'm filming this wonderful actress named Hannah Barefoot, who looked pretty much spot on like Lee looked when she was in her late 20s. And when I scanned all these headshots of Lee. So I've seen her, you know, from Miss America on, well, actually as a baby on, because I've got all this footage and photos of her. Anyway, so Hannah is going to recreate Lee as Catwoman for the opening title sequence and the transition cards between each section of the film. So I'm very excited. We've got the Catwoman costume we're working on, trying to make it look exactly like Lee. And she'll sort of be in silhouette and partial silhouette for these sequences. It'll be sort of a Pink Panther-y type feel, you know, very playful and sexy, and I'm working on it, but I'm very excited about that. So hopefully the film will be finished by the end of the year, and I'm hoping that it will be the first in a series of films about outstanding, amazing women over the age of 70. So Lee is my first star. Not everyone has to be a star. They could be outstanding in any field, but hopefully it'll be a series of films. But even if it's not, I'll be happy to have this about Lee. She's fantastic. Yeah, she's terrific.
Yeah. That was so funny. My brother, he had a crush on her when he was a kid. And when he was talking to her, I was signing my book, and he came running. Sherry, Lee Merriweather's over there. You have to go. And I go, Dave, I can't leave until I'm finished. And he never gets like that.
Oh, isn't that funny? Well, she's quite the charmer, and she's still so beautiful, and just she kind of glows. She's one of those people that just has such a good heart and good spirit, and she's quite playful, and I've enjoyed getting to know her and spending time with her and her family. It's been a terrific experience for me.
Oh, I think she's lovely. She's so sweet and friendly.
Yes.
I can't wait to see it. I really can't.
Oh, well, I will let you know when it's finished, for sure.
Cool. And then your other film, Dance for Joy, is a selection for the Newport Film Festival?
Yeah. It'll be playing at the end of the month at the festival. I was very excited. I didn't submit it to a lot of festivals, but I wanted to submit it to that one, so I was quite happy. I think they have a whole block of films on the final night. I don't know if they're all short films, but I think they are, but it all has to do with dance. So Dance for Joy is about the healing movement classes that the Mark Morris Dance Company and the Lineage Dance Company, they have these classes for people with Parkinson's. And it's quite remarkable to see these people come in sort of stiff and a little into themselves, you know, at the beginning of a class. And the movement and the dance, it just really opens them up, and it gets their blood flowing, and they really feel better about themselves by the end of the class. And it also creates this amazing community of people, sort of a support group for people with Parkinson's, or there's also stroke recovery people. The Lineage Dance Company has classes for people with Alzheimer's, Down syndrome. I mean, it's, you know, we really believe in healing through the arts, and I think dance and music have this special sort of like a magical fairy dust that actually brings people to life and makes their lives better. So the film celebrates those classes and follows this unique relationship between one of the class members, Marianne Moses, and one of the instructors, this young man named Austin Roy. And it's about the class in general, but you sort of follow their relationship and their journey from meeting initially when the classes started to finally making this short narrative film called Marianne that I did. Dance for Joy actually started as a behind-the-scenes type support film for Marianne, but when I got all the footage and the interviews and, you know, filmed the class footage, I was like, you know, this is its own thing. This is its own film. So that's what it became, and I'm really excited that it's going to be playing at the Newport Beach Film Festival. I'm very excited.
Sounds fascinating, and
yeah.
it's not that shocking. I mean, music is very healing. I and it's weird because I was when you were talking, I was thinking, how many times have you heard music, even coming on a TV show or a movie you're watching, and you kind of like start dancing in your chair or you're on the couch because
yeah.
It's just like it just gets to you.
Yeah, it sort of transcends everything. You know, transcends words. It gets right to the heart of things, and there's something about movement as well. I mean, when you see these class members, a lot of the class, it always starts in chairs, so they're doing a lot of movement just seated because some of them, you know, have difficulty standing, but by the end of class, they can get up and do other things. But it just, I don't know, my work with the Lineage Dance Company in general, they're a modern dance company out of Pasadena, California, and they're nonprofits that brings awareness to other charities, and also they sort of have a mission for, you know, bringing arts to all type of mission statement. But I'm not a dancer, so I'm pretty fascinated with Hillary Thomas, who's the artistic director and the choreographer for the company. I'm just always fascinated that she, whether she's upset or happy or if anything hits her hard, she takes it and makes a dance out of it. And
mm-hmm.
I find that fascinating. I find it so, you know, using your body, your whole body, as this conduit for the creativity. And I think that's why I'm always filming something that they're doing, you know, trying to bring a live performance into film. We're actually on a long-term project working on something called Ceiling in the Floor, which is a full-length live show that's it's pretty heavy. It's about the arc of a friendship, and it's told through original music and dance. It's narrated, and then has the original. Well, it's about a friendship. It's about, manic depression. It's about eating disorders. It's about ultimately, it's about suicide and dealing with that issue and watching all this through an arc of a friendship. We've been working on it for over a year. It has about 10 dances in the piece plus the narration, so I've been kind of doing it segment by segment whenever the company has time to do it. So I'm always doing something with Lineage because they're fascinating, and they really brought my creativity to the forefront when I decided to be a filmmaker. It's kind of been a way for me to learn to be a filmmaker, being able to film dances and creating a narrative story within a film without words sometimes. I think that's a good exercise for filmmakers. So, anyway,
oh, yeah.
I feel very lucky.
It's very cool. I always loved. People think I'm so strange because sometimes I get my story ideas from watching a documentary. I like not taking
uh-huh.
from the documentary, but like there's a person in it that I never heard of, or there's something in it that I don't know about, and I get weird about stuff like that. I get into this
yeah.
research mode, and I have to read everything.
Sure. Well, it sparks your creativity. It sparks something in you to create something out of it. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think that's why
yeah.
I all the art forms, I mean, because I do a lot of things, you know, from painting to writing to singing to acting to making films. And, I mean, to me, they're all connected. They're all,
mm-hmm.
they all inform the other medium, and I'm it's like I can't just do one thing, or I kind of get stuck. I have to have these other aspects. And then there's, of course, just the world in general can be inspiring,
yep,
or touch something that sets something off in you creatively. So it's
absolutely
all connected to me.
It's weird, isn't it? That brings us to the other subject, flap or press.
Okay.
First of all, thank you for putting my books on your book page. That was so kind of you, and I really want to thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. I mean, I'm determined. I really want to promote other indie authors because I self-published Shalili and will probably self-publish other books. I don't know. It's a Flap or Press has become, and I'm hoping it will become more of an e-commerce site, but I'll always be promoting other people's books and other artists' works. And I've been in the middle of yet another documentary called The Future Speaks that I've been filming interviews with kids from age 10 to 18. We did in California. I just got back from New Jersey. We're going to Arkansas. So I'm quite occupied with that. So I've kind of let Flap or Press sit on the shelf, no pun intended. But
it's sitting on the shelf.
I will get back to it. I tend to swing back around to things, so I'm behind on that one. I'm eager to get back to it and start really promoting everyone's work.
What made you start Flap or Press? What was the inspiration?
Well, I wrote this book, this young adult fantasy called Shalili, and I woke up one morning and realized that I had to illustrate it. So I went through that process and found this amazing illustrator named Luca DiNapoli who did these beautiful illustrations. And I know that most publishers, they don't want you to come in with your photo, with your illustrations already. You know, they don't want to see any of that. And because I have so many projects going with films and other aspects of my life, I just decided, you know what? I just want to get this finished. I'm going to get it out there. I want to create a website that not only promotes my books and other people's books, but that also sells art and products that are unique, you know, unique merchandise. So the website is basically art ideas and unique merchandise. That's sort of the byline on it. It just made sense to start my own little company to do that, and it just becomes a housing. I have lots of plans for it in the future if I can ever get back around to it. But it just made sense. I'm a control freak. Maybe I don't know. You'd have to ask other people. But like we were talking earlier about acting and how, you know, the actor is sort of the pawn and on the chessboard of the show business. And I don't know. I like being my own engineer and having it happen on my own time. And it just made sense to do it. To do Flap or Press and kind of make it still connect it with what I'm doing with film work as well. I'm fascinated with 1920s, and I think I don't believe in reincarnation necessarily, but I definitely think I was a flapper. That's one of my nicknames from lots of friends. So that's where it kind of connected and started.
I connect completely, as you know. In fact, the first book that I read that was about was Agatha Christie's Partners in Crime, and I fell in love with Tuppence, and I felt like I was reincarnated from Tuppence because I so understood her, you know, and that started my fascination with the 20s. Was there some film or book or TV show that brought the feeling of the 20s to you, or just history class, or how did you first connect to it?
I don't know exactly what it was. I just know that I've always loved that era. And then, of course, working on Highlander, I was in Paris for half of the show, half of the year when we would film. And I think definitely 1920s Paris I'm pretty fascinated with. I don't know. It might have been The Great Gatsby. I don't know. I can't really remember what the fashion. But I love the fashion. I love the look. I love this breaking, you know, the female breaking away and the independence and the kind of rebellion against the norm. I think that I really identify with that. And it's just... The visuals really stick out to me, just the way everything looks. And I was able to, when I saw my logo for Flapper Films and Flapper Press, it was a life cover of a butterfly girl, and she's a flapper. It's kind of like an Erte. I don't think it is an Erte, but yeah, I mean, I think that's in my head. That's who I want to be. I want to look like a flapper and have wings at the same time.
You want to be a butterfly flapper.
Yes, that's it. That's it. Of course, Shalili has wings, so it's like, I don't know. I have a lot of flying dreams as well, so there's something going on there. I need to go back into therapy and figure that one out.
We don't have a lot of time, so sorry, Highlander fans. Do you have any things that you're going to that people can come and see you, or do you have any events that you are going to, like any Highlander conventions?
You know, there is a Highlander convention actually coming up in the autumn here in LA. I don't know the exact dates. You could probably go online and look under Highlander Worldwide, and probably on Facebook, or I think it's just online, and they would give you more information. But yeah, I'm pretty excited about it because we did an event in Florida that was a bit of a mess earlier this year, and I haven't done it because I don't really do conventions anymore. But Adrian was at this convention. There were a couple of other Highlander people there, and it didn't go quite well, but Adrian and I had a great time, as we always do. But after that event, Carmel McPherson, who's head of Highlander Worldwide, she's from Australia, she's absolutely wonderful, and she's always been the person who has run the best conventions for Highlander. So the one that happens in L.A. will be, I don't know if it's strictly Highlander, I have a feeling it might be, but I'm not sure. It's not going to be that big in terms of I think they're limiting the size of how many people can actually come. So if you're interested, you should definitely look it up and see what's going on. But it'll be lots of fun because I think, you know, a lot of the actors are in this L.A. area. Maybe they'll get Jim Burns down. I haven't heard all the details recently, but we always have so much fun. And it's just, you know, I'm looking forward to it. It's like seeing family.
Do you know what the name of the convention is? Is it Highlander Convention, or is there a name for it?
So they can I'd have to look. If they just look under Highlander Worldwide, I think that you would find it. I don't know if it's called The Gathering. I don't know. I think it's to celebrate some anniversary. I'm not quite sure. But
okay.
It'll be a good one. It'll be a good one because Carmel's running the show, Carmel and Annie. So they always get it. I'm looking it up as I talk to you. There you go.
Do you have any other events? I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Has the music started to play?
Oops. I'm sorry.
I don't hear any music.
I don't hear anything.
Oh, it's the baton.
At all.
Oh,
it must be on your line.
That was very weird. Your music was playing. That was very interesting.
No, it's not playing. I don't know what's going on.
God. Let me try if I can turn it off here. There we go. Are you still there?
Uh-huh.
Okay, there you go. All right, stop finally. I don't know what
that
was.
That's
your
weird.
Music started.
What...
Yeah.
I
there we go. Now it's quiet.
Oh, because it's not playing.
No, it stopped playing. I don't know what it was. It's like it kicked in. Maybe. I don't know what happened. There you go. All right, we're back.
Okay. Live radio, what can you do?
Yeah, or you could think, wow, she's hearing music. Ms. Grayson's hearing music in her head and singing. What's going on? I did hear it. I promise I did.
Oh, it might have been some playback on the, are you on Skype? Maybe it was a playback on Skype or something.
Maybe something like that. I don't know. I bet it was over. It's like, oops, we went over.
No, we're fine. Good.
Okay. Good. Live radio.
I was just gonna ask. Do you have any other events?
Not really. I mean, I don't have any other conventions lined up or no signings. I'm deep in the trenches of working on this new documentary and trying to finish up Lee. And I have an idea. I actually have an idea for a new book. I don't know what. when I'm going to start it, but I went to an acting, this is going to sound strange, especially after you heard me singing to music that you weren't hearing, but I was having acupuncture on my back. I was having acupuncture on my back a couple weeks ago, and sometimes with, this is going to sound crazy, with acupuncture or with acupressure or anything like that, I will kind of go into this middle space where I'm not asleep and I'm not awake, and it's almost like a parallel dimension. I know this sounds crazy, but I will be in this other state, and so this happened a couple of weeks ago. It doesn't happen that often, so when it does, I'm always very excited. I just try to stay relaxed so it keeps happening. But I had a kind of a vision of a scene in the Piazza San Marco in Venice, and I came up with this whole idea in the in this waking state I was in. So as soon as I woke up, I kind of popped out of it like I just had been awakened, you know, from a dream. And as soon as I got home, I started writing down what I had seen in this vision. So that'll be next. If I can clear my plate enough to make room for it, I'll start a new book. But I'm not making any promises. It could have just been a vision that cannot be made into a book. I don't know.
It sounds fascinating. And it's not that weird, because that's actually what happens when you meditate.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's, a lot of people do that.
Okay, good.
So you're fine.
I love it. I love it. But I was like, okay. Because sometimes I've had people do acupressure, like on around my ankles and my feet. For some reason, that area, the bottom part of my leg into my feet, has some connection. And I will, you could be talking to me, but I'll be in another frame of mind. I'll be having a conversation with someone else in another plane. I know that sounding very Shirley MacLaine or something here, but it doesn't happen very often, so I'm always excited when it does. I'm like, ooh, that's exciting.
Funny,
so.
That's funny because that's what popped into my head. She wrote a book about that, about having acupressure and going into different dimensions and stuff like that, and that's what popped into my head.
Oh, yeah, like a portal. Yeah, your feet are the portal.
Your feet are the portal to your soul.
That's it. Write it, Cheryl. You write that one. I'm not going to tell you mine. You write that one. Could start a whole line on acupressure portals.
Yeah, we could start a new line of books.
Very strange. No one would buy it, but it would be very interesting to write.
It would be fun.
So funny. Yeah. Very fun.
And it goes so fast. We're at the end of time. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Sure, I've enjoyed talking to you. I'm always rambling. I'm sure people think I'm just like, okay. Put it behind the camera. But I always enjoy talking to you, and I'm very relaxed, and I wish you well with all your endeavors as well.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate
thank
that. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.
Sure. Thank you, Sherry. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.